Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're taking a look at the macro economy. The Bureau of Labor Statistics published the latest consumer price index data, which came in a bit hotter than expected. This is implying that the Fed will need to keep interest rates elevated higher for longer to combat inflation. The Fed keeps saying that rates need to be maintained higher for longer so that aggregate demand is reduced to stamp out inflation. At least, if you read the mainstream media, that's what they would have you believe. The narrative is that the economy is still strong and that the GDP growth is high and unemployment is low. There's no recession on the horizon. That seems to be the story. We've got to remember we're in an election year in the United States, and maybe that's the narrative that's required for the incumbent to win the election. I don't know if that's the case, but there's no question that economic weakness would not benefit the incumbent in the White House. In order to understand what is real in the economy, we have to look closely at what's driving the economy. And when you look at all of the growth that's happened in the economy in the past year, it's as a result of increases in government spending. In fact, even the growth in manufacturing capacity in the U.S. has been partly government subsidized, and that's without the supply and demand fundamentals supporting that growth. I'll give you a simple example. The $52.7 billion CHIPS Act is going to be spent over a few years, but much of that funding is being used to leverage additional investment from global semiconductor companies, including TSMC, Intel, Samsung, Global Foundries, and Micron, just to name a few. The total spending in new manufacturing in the U.S. totals close to $200 billion last year. These investments are clearly contributing to the GDP of the country, but they wouldn't be happening if it weren't for the CHIPS Act and other subsidies. On a fundamentals basis, global demand for semiconductors is down by 0.7% compared with last year. At the end of 2023, there were 73 new semiconductor fabs being built or planned to be built, either as expansions of existing facilities, but the majority, 50 of them, being brand new facilities. And of the 50 brand new facilities, 42% of those are being built in the United States. Now we know why they're being built. Too much of the world's semiconductor fabs are concentrated in Taiwan and in mainland China. And from a geopolitical standpoint, that's viewed as a major risk. In terms of actual demand, the world does not need another 73 semiconductor fabs right now. And I'm here to tell you that this spending is being stimulated by government, not private enterprise. In my mind, this kind of growth is artificial. We have a situation where natural market forces are being obscured by government spending. Government deficit spending now represents 8.5% of GDP, and the federal deficit increased in 2023 by close to $500 billion compared with the previous year. Now, lawmakers in 2024 are reducing government spending closer to those levels of 2022, so government spending is actually going to be less this year than it was in 2023. So let's go back to inflation. Inflation is always a monetary phenomenon. When governments print money, when they put more money into the money supply, it bids up the price of goods and services, the result of too much money in the system. And we have a Fed trying to reduce demand to cool inflation. But the supply-demand balance is currently tipped in favor of supply. If we look retrospectively, we saw wild swings in supply and demand over the last 3 years. In 2020, during the height of the lockdowns, pandemic demand in the economy was 5.7% below supply. We had a massive contraction in demand as everyone was sitting at home. In 2021 and 2022, demand surged in a supply-constrained environment, which combined with massive fiscal stimulus caused inflation to run really hot, over 9%. In 2023, we had supply running 1.2% above demand. And so far in 2024, demand is still running 1.4% below supply. So we don't actually have inflationary conditions. We have disinflationary conditions right now. So that brings us to the current inflation metric that was announced yesterday. With the CPI running at 0.4% month over month and an annualized rate of 3.5%, core CPI, which strips out the more volatile food and fuel components, continues to come in a bit above expectations at a 3.8% annualized. It's closer to 4% than it is to 2%. The largest contributor to the higher-than-expected CPI was the owner-equivalent rent, which is a calculated number. It's an imputed number. It's not based on actual measurements, and it's got a massive lag. So the number that's being reported in March is from close to a year ago. Many are wondering, also, what's causing the bond yield of the 10-year Treasury to continue to rise. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. The latest surge in inflation is partly being blamed on rising oil prices. Well, this, too, is actually an incorrect interpretation. in the short term, oil prices rise. It feels inflationary because now you've got to pay more for a tank of gasoline. But we also know that oil demand is inelastic with price. If you need to drive to work and oil prices rise 20%, you're not likely to stay home from work one day a week to compensate for the higher oil price. And your boss is not going to rush out and give you a 20% raise either. You still drive to work and you spend less on other things out of your monthly budget. The net result is a slowdown in the economy. It's a reduction in demand for everything else that's discretionary. It means fewer meals out. It means spending less on retail. And that is disinflationary. In fact, when we look at retail sales, that's precisely what we see. If you want proof of that, just look at the comments from the CFO of Walmart in their last analyst call, where he said that the ability of retailers to push prices is gone. You also have Target introducing a new line of 400 everyday essentials priced in dollar store territory. We are in an economic slowdown, despite what any politician or mainstream news reporter says. The data, when examined in aggregate, tells us that very clearly. The Fed is going to do what the Fed's going to do, but this latest ripple in inflation metrics over the past 6 months did not fall as a result of Fed policy, and it did not rise as a result of Fed policy. These are natural market forces that have numerous variables at play. And on tomorrow's show, we're going to take a closer look at rising bond yields and rising gold prices to try and make sense out of what's behind these rather surprising moves that appear to have come out of nowhere. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.